This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Cast episode number 28. I'm Pete, and of course I'm with Kelly and Johnny. Kelly, man, how you doing?
Doing great, Petey.
Johnny, man, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing good.
That's awesome, man. Any theories you have or anything? Any dark secrets? Any parves? Skinny dirty you got on us?
Nah. Just don't. No one listens to this.
You want to share your theory?
No. Okay, I'll give you this, because I don't think many people who listen to this are aware of this shit at all. So anyway, our old buddy and partner Parv, there's at PWO, there's a guy there who's obviously pretending to be from Japan, and he's like stirring shit up. And there's been a few little dog whistles to me that made me think maybe Parv's playing an elaborate practical joke, which is just what I want it to be. It definitely is someone faking something. I just know what I want it to be.
And it was cool that Johnny shared his theories with us at 2 in the morning.
I don't think it was that late, but yeah.
It wasn't that late.
I don't know, but I was close enough. I was asleep.
Yeah, you have a problem with things happening at 2 in the morning, huh?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, with my damn roof caving in. Especially right now with Austin, man, with fucking bombs going off. You know,
Jesus Christ, yeah.
When you hear a noise, man, it's not nothing to joke about. We're here looking at episode World Class Championship Wrestling, episode number 39, September 18th, 1982. And we're opening up with Bill Mercer and Jay Solly. And they're bragging about this fantastic card we're about to have. And I'm going to say you guys are a bunch of liars. I did enjoy the opening match, but the rest of this card I could have done without. But let's get into it.
There's a certain match that I really loved, actually, but
I like the opener here. Hey, let's hear what Kelly had to say about King Kong Bundy, Wild Bill Irwin versus Jose Lothario and Al Madrill.
Yeah, well, I had high hopes for this one with Madrill and Jose teaming up. Bundy's been really good over the months. Irwin's serviceable. So. My first note was the empty seats in the Sportatorium this week. There's quite a few.
Tons of empty bleachers.
Yeah. So they had a hot show at Reunion in August, right, with Flair and Kerry for the world title. And we all know what's going to happen on Christmas Day or Christmas night. In between, I think, there's a reason that you don't hear anybody talk about what happened in September, October, November, 1982.
It's reshuffling of the deck is what it is, man, right?
Yeah, yeah, kind of similar to what the WWE goes through these days. You know, the last half of the year is kind of, you know, Dullsville.
Yeah, but, I think that's the whole, you know, they always talk about wrestling being cyclical.
Yeah.
You start putting your pieces in place to make your moves, and that's kind of what they're doing here.
Yeah, and when you have a hot match like the world title match at the last Star Wars, you know, it's natural for there to be a lull because that was such a peak, and then anything that follows that isn't quite as exciting. So we're definitely, I think, we're in a valley right now, so we'll see how long this lasts. For the match, I mean, say what you will or say what I said about the crowd not being there. They're hot, the people that did show up. Are hot for this match. They're hot for every match, pretty much. Rabid, crazy fans.
It's quite a collection.
Yes. Crazy. Well, I said crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, you know, they kind of talk about it, you know, with the hardcores, you know.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are going to show up no matter what.
Exactly. If you're coming when the product's cold, you're pretty committed and you're going to be very vocal, for sure. Al and Bill Irwin have been feuding off and on for months with no end in sight. Al took a long beating in this one. Hot tagged Jose. But the actual setup for the hot tag was hilarious because Al did the go between the legs spot, you know, that you often see back then. But he did it too many times. He did it once where he could have made the tag to Jose, but he decided to go through the legs like two more times. He was having too much fun doing that. So it made him look like an idiot. Anyway, yeah, hot tag to Jose, nuclear crowd for this, House of Fire, but it was cut off pretty quickly, and unfortunately our hero, Jose Lothario, ate the pin here. It was a fast-paced match, you know, no downtime, but not much really to it. I went 1 3/4 stars, just not quite the usual 2 for Al here.
Ooh.
Johnny, what do you think, man?
Well, when the show opens, I'm like, Saldi looks like one of those Geico cavemen, I'd figured out. And
that's good, man. That's actually a damn good point, Johnny. That might be your greatest point in the history of audio.
Well, thank you. Just one of many. But also many, they mentioned that Kevin's a new American champ and that the American tag champs are now Bundy and Irwin. And I start thinking, like, for a promotion that doesn't seem to have more than 12 guys, there's a lot of fucking titles. So you got the American and the American tag, like I said, the All-Asian and the All-Asian tag, the Texas heavyweight belt, and the brass knucks, even though you never see a physical belt. Like, that's a lot of belts for the same guys every show.
And on their syndicated show, they also had a TV belt.
Oh, and a TV belt, too?
That was only ever defended on that show.
Oh, my good Lord. Yeah, I was speaking to those fans. I immediately got my favorite guy. There's the three dudes sitting in the front row who are just getting drunk and having a good time. One of them looks like Super 8's like younger Texan cousin, you know. And but my favorite guy is the guy with the long hair and the trucker cap. He was really into it, and they get a lot of camera shots of him. And in this one, he's yelling at Bundy, and he's waving his hair. He's like, "I got my hair," you know. He looks a little Latino, and he's awesome. He's having the best time, and just super fun. He's my favorite guy. We'll get to some of the other ones. You see a little later. Oh boy, and I don't have anything to add to the match. I was like, what a shitty finish. The finish just looked shitty.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually liked the match, and I would give it 2 3/4. Yeah. I mean,
well, woo.
Yeah. I like a good Southern tag, and I like Lothario Madrill. We've seen them team in Houston and L.A. before. I thought the Shine was really fun by the faces. Kind of dug them going after Bundy's leg. Really good storytelling, trying to chop down the big giant. Good psychology there. They finally cut them off and work over Madrill. Al tries to tag, but it's cut off. So, I mean, they're doing a lot of good tropes here. The hot tag and Lothario, I love, is peppering the heels with punches. Love Lothario. Lothario catching Irwin coming off the top rope. I mean, that was a nasty.
That was cool. That was cool.
And then in all the chaos, Bundy catches Lothario with a slam or a suplex or something.
No, he splashed him. That part was fine. The part
came out of nowhere.
Yeah, the part was Al comes in the ring and is just staring at Jose and just kind of puts his hand on him a little and walks away. I was like, that finish was great. Al fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a little there. But I liked it. I liked the structure. I liked the storytelling. I thought Jose was really good in his role. Same with Madrill. I thought all four actually did really well in here. And I enjoyed the storytelling. So.
That's the highest rating thrown at an El Madrill match so far, I believe.
Yeah, there you go. We'll add Jose in there and Bundy. then we get a Kevin Von Erich interview. And as Kevin Von Erich interviews go, this wasn't too bad. What do you think, Johnny?
It was fine. The fans aren't quite as much, and he was flipping his hair back a little bit, but it was just short and to the point, and like, and I'm going to show him that I'm going to get out there and defend that belt, and, you know, and no one's going to stop me. Yeah, that was it.
He seemed coherent. What'd you make of it there, Kelly?
I forgot all about it, but yeah, I mean, it was short. I guess better than 90% of Kevin's promos, so.
Yep, that's a good thing. And then we get Kevin versus the Magic Dragon, Kelly. What are you thinking here, man?
Yeah, well, okay, Johnny mentioned it. Kevin's the new American champion. I looked that up. That happened September 5th, beating King Kong Bundy, of course. Bundy had the strap for quite a few months. And, yeah, change is in the air. Bundy and Irwin won the American tag titles on September 12th from Kerry and Kevin. So, yeah, it was, you know, the title situation has always been so confusing to me. So,
yeah, why do they need two tag belts in this promotion?
Yeah, well, there's the American tag belts, the all-Asian tag belts, but isn't there also a world tag team belt that they refer to?
The NWA champions have world tag belts, and they can actually come into the territory and defend them.
No, it's a lot of Saudi and Bill accidentally calling it the world tag team.
Is it because Kerry and Al were the tag champs? I thought they were the NWA tag champs or something. Or the world. No, they were the world tag team champions.
And they probably just called them the world champs because they just didn't know anybody.
No, you're right. But anyway, it's super confusing. So I had to finally sit down and like try and map out the title situation here.
That'll drive you mad.
It almost did.
Did you have a board or did you have a mirror? And you're just like all this...
Yeah,
killer like scraps put up and stuff.
Yeah, he had lots of red yarn going.
No, my conclusion was just too many fucking titles. That's all. The match. David Manning is back. That wasn't 90 days. Jeez, who would have thought he got
well,
off
it's
easy.
Good to know that he's back because he can now support his family. And then he laughs. and then he laughs.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a 90-day suspension.
Yeah, because I thought it would pop up right when he was supposed to show up on Christmas Day and stuff.
Yeah, it would have been closer to that. So he basically was suspended for at most maybe a month. So 30 days. Fishy.
Texas office.
I'll tell you all, the NWA can go fuck themselves.
So the crowd was nuclear for this match, too. But the territory really needs some new heels. I made that note here. I mean, Dragon, we've seen a ton. Kabuki, Irwin, Bundy, Hussein. It's been the same guys for months and months.
You know, you say that, Kelly. I bet you that's our most commonly used phrase, or he's stoned out of his mind. One of the two.
Yeah, I wonder who they could get to heat up this territory. Jeez. There must be some group of heels out there that could help. Anyway, this was pretty quick and convincing. Kevin won very fast, and it was thankfully short, was my last note.
Yep, what you make of it, John?
Well, Dragon just looks like a tub of shit. Just...
The dog agrees with that.
Hey, can you guys pause it? I gotta let the dog out because everyone just came home and it's gonna be a ton of barking here. Just make a note.
We don't want the dog to outshine you.
Oh, thanks.
That was a good line. I may have to keep that in there.
I thought it was.
Dragon just looks like a tub of shit. You know, he can wrestle okay, but he's just dumpy and short. His gear looks stupid. Kevin's doing something cool I liked in the match in the beginning where, because of the kicks, he's pointing at his chin like, come on, you take your best shot at my chin. I thought that was a really good, cool, cocky move. Now, back into that crowd. The hee-haw lady is there, and she's with her old man, who has like an Elvis pompadour, no teeth, he combs his hair with buttered toast, big black sideburns, but the mustache goatee part is gray. And, ooh, boy, they're quite the couple. Oof. And Saldi talks about Kevin Von Erich being a bit bulkier. He's like, well, you know, he's put on almost like 7 to 10 pounds to bulk up against King Kong Bundy. 7 to 10 pounds to bulk up? he says someone self-defeated his own purpose. That's okay. And that was that. I thought the match was – it was okay. I think I like watching Kevin Von Erich do shit with his legs, you know, like this, the rolling scissors and shit. But – Dragon's, I don't think Dragon's good.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the match because it was so short. So
that
yeah.
was good. That
what
was
stood
good.
Out was Kevin's cool stuff. Do you guys think, like, you know, in today's environment in wrestling, where people are more awed by big moves than like work, for example? And that's not always the case, but I'm generalizing. But it seems like people are more into like the big spots. You think people would think Kevin was a really great worker in today's environment because of all the cool stuff he was doing?
Oh, yeah. I
what
do.
About you, Kelly?
That's an interesting question. I guess he would get more respect for his work now than he would have at the time.
Yeah.
I guess put him in the Indies or Japan, and he's this athletic freak who's a stiff, who shoots stiff. Oh, they'd love him.
Yeah, he would. It's nuts. Oh man. Then we get Kerry versus Hussein, and I'm gonna say it again. I can't stand having a manager, part-time manager worker. Because bottom line is you should. That's a stiff. Like you get 5 minutes with Hussein if you beat. King Kong Bundy. So these type of matches just get me angry just on principle. What you make of the match there, Kelly?
Yeah, well, I hate Hussein as a wrestler. I don't like him much. I don't like him as much as a manager either. I think he's totally redundant. He doesn't. They have Gary Hart. That's enough. We don't need friggin' Armand Hussein. And he sucked cock as a color commentator too. So.
And you know, yeah, and if Gary Hart couldn't make the town, let him do the damn interviews and send him in. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
I think Gary Hart's too depressed right now. Fucking, yeah, no, you do it. This fucking promotion.
So. Yeah, my first note was this territory is really in cruise control right now, just putting this out here. I mean, it's just to make Kerry look great. You got to build him up again after the disappointment of coming or not winning the NWA title. So this was just another squash. Saldi did mention that Hussein was the American champion for several months back in 1976, which makes sense because that was the height of like the Sheik being a huge star, and obviously Hussein is basically a seventh-rate Sheik ripoff in a lot of ways with his boots and the whole camel walk and crap. Anyway, and for those keeping score at home, Hussein is still the African champion.
Yes.
Very prestigious title.
I guess do we add that to the list?
Yeah, that's another one. Every continent, I think, is represented almost in world class. Blink and you miss it. Finish with Kerry winning with the discus punch.
I mean, they put the world in class, baby.
Yes.
What you making the match there, Johnny?
Well, it's nice to see that George Burns was getting side work as a security guard. There's the old guy with a fucking stogie and big thick rimmed glasses just like hanging out in front. I'm like, hey, I like that guy. Match was quick and over and fast, thank goodness. But in the beginning, he's doing his camel walk and he's like, wait, I need to do my religious ceremony thing. And Kerry turns his back and he attacks him. And Bill Mercer is going, I was like, oh, for a long time, we've been told that the camel walk is, you know, a tradition, a religious sort of, you know, institution, if you will, and he's practicing his religion, and to see him do it that, like that, is just despicable. Because, oh, That's supposed to be a sacred religious thing that he just shit on. Like, you're right. Hussein's the worst.
Well, that's great. Well, and that leads us to Bundy and Irwin. What'd you make of that interview, Johnny? With Ahmad Hussein.
I just wasn't even paying attention to Hussein. Oh, no, hey, Hussein got this line in. We are a very financial organization. Yes. Are you? And Wild Bill Irwin, you can't cut a promo to save his goddamn life. He's trying to get, like, he's going to say, well, Bundy adds the strength. I match the Von Erichs. Ba-da-da-da-da. Well, and we're going to retain these belts a long, long time. We're gonna retain these belts until we die. I was like, whoa, hey, okay. It just Bundy's saving the day because he's a great promo, you know. But the only two good performers in this were Bundy and Bill Mercer because, boy, Bill Irwin and Hussein stink.
Kelly?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't the finest hour promo-wise for all three men. Bundy was the best of the three. The only one that came off convincing in his delivery. You know, Hussein, like, we're a very financial organization. Do you even know what you're talking about? What? Does that, you know, he thinks it sounds impressive, I guess, but I don't think he understands what he means there. Yeah, it was the drizzles.
That leads us to the Great Kabuki versus Bugsy McGraw. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this match, man, from the main event?
Well, two more titles to update the fans scoring at home. Bugsy is the Brass Knucks champ. I think he has been for quite some time. Not sure how long. I think, well, he beat Jose Lothario for it at one point, I believe. And Kabuki is, of course, the Asian champion. So, yeah, look, all the titles. There must be about 10. And there's 16 wrestlers in the territory, so that's not a good average.
If you don't have a title, you stink.
Yeah, basically. And notice how there's no jobbers on this show. It was all pushed guys. So maybe they're shuffling the deck or changing the show up a bit. Kabuki's gimmick, or Kabuki as a heel in the territory is pretty stale, but his gimmick is still really cool. So these guys, yeah, this has been built up. Bugsy, you know, this has been going on for months, really, with Bugsy, long-time member of H&H, and then he quit, and now he's slowly starting to gain revenge on all the members. So here we go. This was an interesting match. It was so heated. Bugsy may be the most over face in the territory, actually.
Yeah, this is their Jimmy Valiant Great Kabuki match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's crazy, but he is. I mean, he's beloved. And everybody was behind him. Big chance for him. And secondly, this is like a minimalist masterpiece of this match.
I love this match.
I think there was only two moves used, basically. There was a bear hug by Bugsy, and then there was the nerve hold by Kabuki. But, I mean, you know, if you're good, you don't need many moves, and they had the crowd in the palm of their hands, so I can't really complain too much. I loved it when Bugsy, after having the bear hug on for quite a while, Kabuki finally breaks it by going after his eye.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Bugsy, you know, sold it really well by screaming there. This is the first serious match Bugsy's been in quite some time, mm-hmm, after all those comedy matches, so it's nice to see him back here, getting revenge. Yeah. Even the board chick in the front row that I mentioned, I think, on the last show was chanting, "Go, Bugsy, go." She was really into it. Yeah. Not much else to say. The finish keeps it going, basically, for a future match or a more important match, a stip match between these two guys. where Hart interfered. And I'll save the call, one of Saldi's greatest calls ever, for Johnny, because I'm sure Johnny picked up on this one right at the end. And if not, I'll mention it after you're done. Anyway, I mean, it's hard. I mean, at first with the bear hug spot, I was kind of zoning out because that bear hug went on for quite a while. But when I look back on the match and you know, thought about it, it was a good match. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with walking and talking, people. What you make of it, Johnny?
I loved this match, by the way. I watched this last night. It was chilly outside, warm, just sitting back, and I'm annoyed with this television show. And this match came on, and I loved it because Bugsy's serious now. You know, he's clowning around a bit. He's avoiding the kids, if you notice, because they're following him around at ringside, and he's slapping hands with all the adults. It might be because of the court order. That's why he got the, yeah, that's why he got the hair. That's why he got the haircut, because he got a haircut too.
Yeah.
Or as Bill Mercer said, a conservative haircut. And Bugsy he's angry and he's fighting. When you say Jimmy Valiant, I was thinking, yeah, this is the anger of Jimmy Valiant, you know, versus Kabuki in Mid-Atlantic, you know, there was blood and guts, and this wasn't bloody, but you know, you felt they really hated each other, and Bugsy just attacking right away, you know, and throwing Kabuki off his game by just savaging him. Before the bear hug starts, he's savaging him, and Kabuki doesn't know what to do. You know, and Kabuki's selling and all this stuff too. Like some of his selling during a bear hug and stuff was great with the he's coughing because he can't catch a breath and little bits of the mist are coming out. It looks cool. And Bugsy's selling of the nerve hold on his arm was great at first too, because he's like, oh, it's going numb and I have to make it not go numb. And he didn't just go right down to his knees and stuff. They did a lot with performing the most, like you said, the most minimalist thing ever, but the crowd was super hot and into it. And I really got the sense these guys fucking hated each other. And Bugsy was a stone cold Bugsy. It was fucking great. Saldi, here he comes. He's probably the fourth stooge.
Yeah. He's already played that one out at least eight times. Yeah.
Oh, but Bill Mercer doesn't acknowledge it, so hold on. And they mentioned the Checkmate is coming in, and I either forgot this or didn't know this. I assumed Checkmate was a luchador.
No.
And he says he's from England.
It's Les Thornton.
Is it Les Thornton?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. So, but as far as the character goes, he's from England, and he thinks of wrestling as human chess, and that's why he's called Checkmate. And wears a mask. It's so silly. I love it. All of a sudden, and
I'm already having nightmares about their matches. Jeez.
Oh, I do remember them, man, and they were not fun. But Bugsy selling, like you mentioned, when Kabuki goes for his eye, it's this high pitched screaming, like, yeah. Oh, my eye. It's like Terry Funk level, like, Lance, my eye. Shit. Yeah. You know, fucking great. And in the middle of all this, Saldi forces the Stooges joke again into the middle. Like I said, he's got three brothers, Mo, Larry, and Curly, his brother. And he forces it in, and Bill Mercer goes, so, when are you leaving? And he goes, well, I'll be heading back to camp. All this shit. Like, you can't make it all out. Tom Landry something. And he goes, oh, we'll be looking forward to that. Yes, we will, Bill. Yes, we will.
We will be looking forward to your on locations.
Yes. And a Bronco takes another bump. And I think this must be it, Kelly, because Kabuki did a punch from the second rope. And Saldi goes, Hold on. Yes, it's the Stan Stasiak heart punch right to the chin.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, my God. I was like, I mean, we couldn't get through this show with – I didn't hear the other one. I was like, we couldn't get through the show without one thing. But the fact that he said the heart punch to the chin made me happy. I laughed my ass off. So bravo. I loved this match. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, man, that's an episode of World Cast for you. What you make of the show today, Kelly?
Well, we have one more thing I'm sure Johnny wants to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Bugsy's big promo.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, okay. So real quick, Bugsy is giving a fired up babyface USA promo, and it's great. And he's flustered and he's angry, and somebody gets to that he's telling any promoter out there he wants Kabuki and he wants it in a match where Gary Hart is handcuffed, and not handcuffed to the ring, but handcuffed to his seat because he's a disciple of Satan. And he should be punished that way so he does not interfere in my match again. And that way I can just walk up to him anytime and slap him silly all I want. And that's the end. I'm like, fuck yeah, I love Bugsy. Bugsy's back.
All right, man. Kelly, where can the good people reach you at?
Well, they can reach me at Twitter. I rarely ever do a plug like this. At MSG1880, Ricky Jackson. And I pretty much just, my only tweets are of the show dropping and a few other shows. I have 106 followers now. So
fascinating.
Not too shabby.
Fascinating. Johnny Zara, where can people find you at, man, on Twitter?
Is it Johnny Sorrow with just with no W?
With no W, yes.
Tell me, brother.
Yeah, I don't use it all that much either.
There you go. There you have it. You can follow me at Titans O Wrestling. And, man, have a great week, and we'll catch you next time, World Cat style.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Across Texas with you in my arms, waltz across Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.
Exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
I'm loving the All-Star Wrestling. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that.
I did. No. I'm back in the New York room. I'm back in the New York room. I'm back in the New York room.